Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Okay, welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. And we're privileged today to have a leader, not only in the coaching world, but also in the business world. And really to dive in to see what great coaches know that most leaders forget. And we're here with the great Garrett Foster. Great to be with you, Garrett.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You're kind in your introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, I've seen you have tremendous impact with youth, coaching them on the field and getting the absolute best out of them. And then I've seen you do it in business. Now, what kind of similarities are there to being successful coaching 14-year-old boys and 40-year-old entrepreneurs? Where are the similarities there, and how have you been able to be successful in both?
Yeah, that's a great question. You don't think about that very often, that there may be some similarities, but yeah, there are. I think the first thing is just about motivating, right? Like whether you're going to get a 14-year-old group of boys pointed in the right direction, or like when we started with them, they were 7 and 8 year old boys, which was even harder, right? But whether you're going to get them pointed in the right direction, or you're going to get a potential high level business owner, molded to be able to succeed, at the end of the day, it's about figuring out them as people and what motivates them, and that not everyone's the same. None of the children are the same. None of us as adults are the same. Like, that's just how it is. And so how do we motivate? And you know, Chad, we can talk about like the motivation, the everything. When I go back into business or coaching or anything, motivating is part of it, but it's how we care about people that really matters. And I was having a conversation this last week with someone who was kind of asking the question, like, and they were a younger person, but it was, hey, how do I have the success that you've had? You know, and the first thing I said is, well, first you got to put the time in. Like, you're looking at me at this stage in life, which means there was a whole bunch of other stages that nobody enjoyed. But right, eventually you get there. But the other thing is you build yourself, and you care. When you just learn that life, business, coaching, whatever it is about people. And like, are we going to decide to care about people or not? Then some of those other things start to get easier and reveal themselves.
You know, you brought up a couple of great points there. And one of them was the fact that you had somebody come to you and say, hey, how can I be as successful for you? Now, first of all, whoever asked you that question needs to be commended. Yeah. Because I think you and I've had conversations about, you know, the great coach John Wooden, and how few of people actually approached him to say, hey, why are you great? Yeah. And so the fact that this, you know, younger individual came up to you, that says a lot about them, for one. But it also says a lot about you, Garrett, because you've carried yourself in a way that people want to emulate you. Now, let me ask you this. With that being said, you have the ability to just jump in. And if I could just give quick background. So you were in the construction industry, and you took a company from zero to making tens of millions of dollars, right? Then you left that company and you started coaching other companies to do the same. Yeah. And so what has given you the ability to just jump into the many different endeavors that you've been involved with? Because a lot of people listening to this podcast are thinking to themselves, okay, Garrett was just born successful. He's just been very lucky, or he's just been fortunate. But you've had to really put yourself out there, both when you were building that previous company and also in coaching other companies. So what is it within you, or could you even identify what's in you that allows you to have the courage to take some of these jumps?
I don't know if I could identify what's in me, but I can identify how it came about, because I don't know that it was in me. There was a lot of years it wasn't in me. But what did happen, and what happens to all of us, is we get put in situations where we have to, right? And the more times I got put in situations where I had to, the more opportunities I had to figure out really what am I as a person, right? And over time, you start to develop that, hey, I am an entrepreneur. I have a tolerance for risk. I want to be responsible for taking care of families. And those aren't all easy things. And it was stages of life as well. But like the real transparency is when you talk about growing that construction company and then going to do something else, like it wasn't a pretty landing. Like in that company, because of a partnership, it wasn't like, hey, here we come. It was we're crash landing. What's next? And so I had to like go, what? And I give a lot of credit to you because Chad, you and a couple other individuals had a ton of conversations with to say, what would it even look like if I wanted to help other people do this? And you were one that believed in me to be able to go do that. And now we've built companies and we're building companies again. But it was not by choice sometimes that I got to those places. And then you say, okay, what am I? And where do I sit? And how does it feel? And what brings me energy? And what do I really like? And in those kind of darker moments, you have the opportunity to ask those real reflective questions. Because when we're comfortable, we're just going to go do comfortable things. But when you're uncomfortable, then you have to like really get real with yourself.
Well, but you've had the ability to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
And you have, but you said something there that I really want to challenge people to really listen to and hear when you said that. Is you've put yourself in situations where you just had to figure it out. Where, and so many times people are, you know, worried about, oh my goodness, how am I going to look? How's this? How am I going to be perceived by others? Yeah. And you're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to put myself out there and just go be successful. Because if you worry so much, and I heard Alex Ramosi say this the other day, that you have to be comfortable with being embarrassed.
Yeah.
And being okay with people maybe laughing at you or be comfortable. You know, I remember TK sharing with me when he was starting one of his very first companies, he walked in to a potential company he wanted to work with. And they asked him what kind of software he uses to do his estimates. And he said, I just use Excel. And he said he heard a few of the girls just laugh in the background.
Yeah.
Right. And that might take somebody and drive them to just, you know, and I'm just going to go bury myself in the corner, bury my head in the corner or whatever. But the reality is you, like TK, have said, no, I'm going to go figure this out. And it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of the refiner's fire a lot of times. And I think like you talk about caring what other people think, caring what other people think is what got us in this situation as a society where we're all living potentially the life because we think that's what other people think or want or would be impressed by, or we think they're living that life because all they do is show on social media every time they do something cool. And we're like, oh, their whole life is all cool. Why isn't
right.
all cool? Well, guess what? They're going through the ups and the downs just like you are. But we get like the world today, and think about our children. So now go back to coaching. Like think about our children and the challenge they face with like, what am I? You know, what am I or what should I be? And the thing about it is that's a higher level question. What am I and what should I be? That's between us and whoever we believe in, right? That has nothing to do with anybody else. The only one I have responsibility for that question is a higher power and my wife. Like that, those are the only ones I'm responsible to for that question,
right?
But it's hard.
Well, in the world, you mentioned a great point there of people really caring about what other people think. We were you and I were at a freshman football meeting last night, and the coach, okay, so imagine this for a moment. The coach of the freshman or soon to be freshman players says, hey, be careful with their social media. If they want to be recruited, here are some things. And he was just saying things. I was like, oh my goodness. When I was 14 years old, Garrett, I was not thinking about how I was presenting myself to the world for potential college scholarships.
Yeah.
It's just it's just a totally different world we live in today.
It's wild. And so now going back into some business and the stuff you asked, Chad, like, I'm not going to go conspiracy theory crazy on you, but like our whole society has conformed us to be to fit in a certain box.
Mm-hmm.
And there's benefit to certain systems and people and all this stuff, right? But sometimes entrepreneur is not that. Sometimes go to work every day, have a good job, get an education, do the thing is it. And so it took me a lot of time to like realize, like, what am I? And I'll never forget the first time, like, I hit rock bottom in a transitionary period where all of a sudden I didn't want to take a job, but the jobs that were coming at me and the offers that were coming seemed awfully attractive because I had to take care of my family.
Right.
And I remember not and figuring out that if I went and created value in the world, it would give back. And all of a sudden realizing that I can create value. And you helped me with that a lot, because when we were first talking coaching and stuff, I'm like, man, how do we charge? What do we do? Like, and you came up with some numbers that I was like, well, those are big numbers. Like, who's going to pay that?
Right.
And you believed in me and the value. And now clients believe in me and the value. And now I watch their business prove that the ROI is there. Right. But in the beginning, it's not that easy. And I remember all of a sudden realizing that no matter where I'm at, all I have to do is go provide value and it will reward me. Like, and so like now think about sports, because we started on sports. Like, so now you got sports. Like, how important is it for a kid to just realize I'm part of a team, I'm part of a system, I need to figure out how to go create value.
Right.
Value here. Right.
Well, and but Garrett, when you hit rock bottom and you are really struggling, isn't it hard to be thinking to yourself, how am I going to create value when you yourself are at the bottom thinking, do I have any value?
Yeah, yeah. And you take complete accountability to what got you there. So you're like, here I am. And then all the things, like, so here's the problem. These are all the things that keep us away from our potential. And like, that's what we're here for, is to reach our potential. And my potential has nothing to do with your potential or the guy next door or the neighbor or anything. My potential has to do with me and what I've been blessed with or not blessed with and what I do with that. Like, that's potential. Sports. If I can just have kids come and reach their potential, strive for their potential, I'll help them reach it if they'll come strive and put the work in. So then it's this thing. And like, all the things of comfort rob us of our potential. 100% rob us of our potential, because all of a sudden we now have this comfort. It's like a little turtle shell that we just sink back into, and like, I'm safe. So now we quit stretching and we quit reaching. We quit building and we quit dreaming and like all the stuff quits because we're comfortable.
Well, and Garrett, I mentioned in a previous podcast where I get up in front of a group of business owners or attorneys or whatever it might be, and I ask them that very question. I'll say, how many of you know you're living below your potential? And Garrett, every single hand will go up consistently.
Yeah.
Everyone will say, yes, I am living below my potential.
Yeah.
And I think your example there of, you know, the turtle going into your shell being safe. This is safe, you know, but it's being willing to say, you know what? You did hit rock bottom. So you're like, you know what? I'm not going to stay here. And people listening, regardless of where you're at, the reality is you don't have to stay where you're at. Mm-hmm. And you can go achieve and think bigger. Even if you don't necessarily know how to do it, you start taking the steps and the doors and opportunities present themselves.
For sure.
And did you see that, Garrett, as you start taking the steps and,
absolutely.
And opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, if anybody's listening to this helps you at all, nobody knows. Nobody knows until you know. No great salesperson was a great salesperson until they put in the work to be a great salesperson. And then everybody who puts the work in can be it. Like, it's about work, right? That's all it's about. So there's that part of it. Like, no, I didn't know. Nobody knows. You don't know, but you go figure it out. You go put the work in, right? But at least that growth comes.
At least
those steps are taken. At least little by little, we start to progress and we start to see. And it's not as hard as everybody thinks. It just takes that one first step and that little bit of effort.
Well, and I think if we go back to coaching for just a moment, Garrett, I remember you putting together a rugby team in Rigby, Idaho, with a bunch of fifth graders. Okay. And I don't even know if you knew the rules of rugby very well.
Oh no, I still don't.
But you were a practice ahead of the kids, right? So I don't know if you were YouTubing it or what you were doing, but you're like, okay, next practice, we're gonna do this. and you gathered these kids together, and you, although if they were, the kids didn't know to ask you the rules, but when you did, is you'd be like, I'll find out. And a year and a half later, those same kids found themselves in a North American Cup. Yeah. It was North American Cup?
Yeah, North American Invitational is what they call
North,
it.
Okay, North American Invitational, where kids there were from Hawaii and all over North America who'd been, you know, who'd been playing rugby since they were kids.
Yeah.
And your team won, and it was crazy to watch, but your team won it all.
Yeah,
they did. And there was these kids that have been playing rugby since they could walk.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were beat by all these farm kids from Rigby, Idaho.
For sure. And it was international. There were teams from Guam and from, like, they were from all over. And, you know, like, so you take that back into business, though, because so what business or sports is about building teams. Really, it's about building teams. Because anybody can be self-employed. And anybody can hit a ceiling. And anybody can have a lifestyle business. But when we want to build a business, we have to build a team, right?
Right.
So do you remember that, Chad? Do you remember that game? Like, we played that whole tournament. There were several games every day that we're playing. And of course, we're the underdogs, right? And we had a couple of kids that, like, had good games, right? They stood out. They had good games, like you see. But do you remember how we won that game? One of your kids was involved in that. I can't remember if it was Chase or Chandler, but one of them was involved. Because when it came down to it, and that game was tied, and time was expiring, and it came down to some kids who weren't necessarily in that spotlight the whole time, but in that moment, they were prepared and ready to step up and perform, right? And I think the ball was just magically there, and your son grabbed it and pitched it back to Porter, and I think Porter scored, right?
Right,
that
right.
That all happened in that last moment, and they are the heroes of the entire tournament. Right. But it's because everybody for team and to reach their potential is prepared in any moment, whether that's the standout, the CEO, or whether it's a role player functionally, like we all build teams to be able to do great things when the time comes.
I love that. I love that. And you really hit on a note there that you really stuck with what you knew. So you realize, okay, I've got to build a team here. And this is what I do know. You didn't know everything about rugby, but you said, here are some things I do know. And I do know it takes a team to win. But that's the same with business. It's with life. It's within everything we do. This is what I know will work. And so you focused on what does work. And sometimes we sit back and we think to ourselves, I don't know this. I don't know that. I mean, if anyone would have asked you a year and a half earlier, hey, Gary, you should put this team together to go compete against teams from Guam, Hawaii, and all over the place and win every single game and then take home the championship, you'd be like, what are you even talking about? Right. But you sat back and you said, okay, this is what I do know. And then you were exceptional at those things we do know. But you did emphasize the fact that Everybody is kind of making it up as they go.
For sure.
We sometimes sit back and we discount ourselves, but the reality is you go put yourself out there and you'll be amazed at what happens.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done as a coach, and that's what you've done in business.
Yeah. Because, sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. What's your question?
I was going to say, so what would you say to someone who maybe struggles with it and says, I don't know if I can put myself out there. I just don't know what I could do. What do you do to help get maybe a team member or an entrepreneur or somebody to think a little bit bigger, to put themselves out there a little bit more?
Yeah. So first of all, you have to, not to be cliche, but just do it. Like, so you kind of just have to do it, and you can take little baby steps, but the fact of the matter is you have to know and learn yourself. Like, I have kids. Some of them will be entrepreneurs. Some of them will be employees. That's okay. I love them all the same. Like, I don't care what they are going to be when it comes to that, as long as they're reaching their potential. That's all I care about. Go be your best you, right? But they have to go and put themselves in situations to learn what kind of disposition they have. And it's an evolution, because I was an employee for a long time. And then after being an employee, the first I started was by acquiring businesses. So you can see, and then now we could start a business and we have the support system and the teams to start businesses or partner on businesses. But in the beginning, we had to incrementally figure out like where is my disposition as a person? And at first it was, hey, I like the idea of entrepreneurship, but I want to limit my risk because I wasn't quite sure. So you kind of just put your toe in and you kind of figure. But I also believe you could jump in the deep end and just learn how to swim. And I think that works too, because sometimes we do that. The fact of the matter is you're doing something. You have to do something and you have to feel the discomfort. And in feeling the discomfort, you feel that and you have to start to get comfortable with the discomfort. So that's the first thing you have to do. And then recognize that growth comes from discomfort. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, if your goal is to grow, you have to seek discomfort. Don't even worry about. So I just before this, actually, with one of our businesses, we sat down, put our 1-3-5 year plan together and did some strategic stuff getting ready. And the manager of the business was having a really hard time. So manager slash partner of this business with me was having a really hard time putting herself out there. I said, where are we going to be in 3 years? You know, oh, I don't know. And then we came backwards and we worked it down into what are we going to do in the next 30, 90 days? Oh, that's easy. I'm going to do this, this, and this. Okay, well, it's going to result in all that stuff, right? And so sometimes we just have to break it down and just step and step until it's uncomfortable. Once it's uncomfortable, we know, okay, here's growth. Now let me get myself there more and more and let me see where my disposition is, how I handle certain things. And then if I want to push past that, I just keep pushing into discomfort, 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 and pretty soon it becomes comfortable. I promise you, not one risk taker out there, not one entrepreneur, when you see that person roll the dice with $100 million, at one point they weren't comfortable rolling the dice with $1,000.
Right.
$10,000 or $1 million. And now they're making investments, $100 million. And everybody goes, oh my goodness, they're rolling the dice. And in their mind, they're not even rolling the dice. They're just playing the game.
Right.
Right. But they started somewhere. I promise, get in the shoes of anybody and take them back to the roots. And they will be like, I was scared to death over that $100 decision. But they just kept pushing themselves.
Right. So true. That's so true. And so you get comfortable with the discomfort and then you'll be stunned at the amount of growth that occurs.
For sure.
And you sit back and realize how far you've come. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing that people really, for some reason, think that if they're getting opposition, then they must be doing something wrong. If they're super uncomfortable, something's not right. No, you're the fact that you are uncomfortable means you could be on the very, and most likely on the perfect path to get you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a quote years ago where an individual was up speaking and he said, he told his mother, I believe, Mom, this is really hard. And she said, well, it's supposed to be hard, right? It's supposed to be hard because that's just the challenges that life presents before us. And those of us that are willing to embrace it. And I'm telling you, Garrett, it's quite, life is a roller coaster. It can be crazy. I mean, just this week for me, I had some drastic rides on the roller coaster. I mean, Tuesday, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It just felt like one of the worst days. Then Wednesday, oh my goodness, this is the best day ever. Right. And so it's not always that dramatic, but man, some days it's just like, oh, life is just so hard. Yeah. And then other days, as you persist through it, you know, you see the rewards of your hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what scares people the most is if they're not learning from their mistakes, then they fear the similar experience. But as long as we go into it with it, it's not failure, it's learning approach. And we won't make the same mistake again. We will learn from it. We'll be better. Then it shouldn't scare us so much anymore. But when we go into it saying, man, that hurt and that scared me and that embarrassed me and that did all those things, then we retract back into a place where it's like, I'm not going to put myself out there again. And we weren't made to not put ourselves out there again. We were made to put ourselves out there again. That's why we do. Like, if it's kind of funny because you can go back, if you could ever go back into your mind as a child, and you start asking, like, what are you going to be when you grow up? President of the United States. I'm going to play in the NBA. I'm going to be an astronaut. You know what I mean? Right. By the time we've been conditioned and we're 18 years old and we enter college and we come out the other end, it's like, what are you going to be? Well, I don't know, but I got a degree. I'm going to go find something. It's like, whoa. So all of a sudden, here we are. We condition ourselves almost out of grace.
We do.
We were born with that innate thought process in us to go be great. And then it gets pounded out of us over time until we're just, okay, here I am. I've learned the lessons. I've taken my lumps. You know, this is just me now. This is where I sit. Instead of saying, no, that's learning opportunity. That was an opportunity to learn. I won't make that mistake again. Let's go do it again. You know, and this time I'm out on the other end.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that. That's phenomenal. Garrett, your insights, your knowledge, and your example is phenomenal. So if someone wants to follow you more closely and see what you do and how you do it, is LinkedIn the best place for people to reach out to you and see what you're doing?
Yeah, we're on LinkedIn. My assistant, she posts on LinkedIn and Instagram and also YouTube and those. But yeah, we're on LinkedIn and post content there. And yeah, and then also, you know, our website, prevaillegacy.com, we have ways to connect that way and anything we can do.
Love it.
Anybody. So
I love it. Love it. Love what you're doing, Garrett. Appreciate you being with us and appreciate what you've shared. Have a tremendous day, everyone. Oh yeah.
Wait, can I say one last thing?
Sure.
I want to say thank you to you and TK because Chad, you might know this. I don't know if other people do, and I hope they can hear this. I hope they don't cut off, but how many podcasts make it past like episode number 10?
Yeah, it's a small percentage.
Yeah, it is a small percentage. So thank you guys. I love to learn from you. Your book is great. Like I hand it out to people all the time. Like there's just so much knowledge there. So thank you to you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We love it. Love it, Garrett. Great being with you, brother. Take care, everyone. Bye now. See you.